Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Shadow Turning Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is April the 23rd, 2024, or it is the 15th day of Zif, 2028. This is the second Passover of the year of 24. We're doing the second instead of the first. That's the way it turned out this year. We have a member that has joined us the last couple of years, and he represents the people of the world, believe it or not. And his name is Clifford, and he is from Jamaica, and he is a blessing for the kingdom, for our kingdom, for the everlasting kingdom of heaven. And he's here representing his people, and as a token of an increment of the harvest of the world. Okay, so we're going to get into our prayer thoughts as we read about the transition of the two economies. We're going to turn to Malachi 4, just six verses, and Malachi 4, we're going to read all six verses. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Okay, it says, once again, Malachi 4. It says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Yahshua, this is the Son speaking, of the host, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, Yahshua, that's his name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Okay. And ye shall go forth and go up as the calves of the stall. And this brother said years ago when he preached on this here, he said, how long does it take the calves in the stall to grow up? And I said, exactly 1 year. So he said, we got 1 year to grow up from this Passover to the next one. And he said, then there's going to be some great things take place. He said, we're going to go back to the former Edenic stature of Adam and Eve. We'll start that, our growth. When that growth starts, we're going back to the original statue of about 10 to 12, 13 feet for Adam and Eve. And that's what we're going to end up doing too. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua of the host. Okay. Remember ye the law of Moses, of my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Now here's proof right here that it was Yahshua that talked with Moses at the burning bush in Horeb. It was Moses, his servant, that Yahshua took him down into Egypt and went with him. Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that followed. And he was the one that delivered those out of Egypt that put the blood on the doorpost on the night of the Passover, and by that blood represents the blood of Yahshua. We're fixing to read about it in a minute. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So this is our message for the world today. We have the Elijah's message, and it's to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children back to the fathers. That's what this message will do. We have to become healed ourselves, and we have the right information to finally put the healing touches on our bodies, and we're thankful for that. We got that team together this week, so we're going to go into a reading for the Dissolved Ages. I believe it's page 652. I think it's chapter 72 or something. Anyway, we got it printed off here. It's called The Transition of the Two Economies by Ellen G. White. And The Blood of the Yahshua by The New and Living Way, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. September the 24th, this is printed up. Okay. 2003. Okay, so revised January 2023 by Catherine Bronson. So, this is, also this is Ellen G. White, Dissolved Ages. It's always a favorite subject to read every year. For the Passover. Okay, it says Isaiah 45:8. "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Yahweh have created it for the birth of the Yahshua is with the heavens dropping down to the promise made for Adam and Eve at the garden gate, of the promise of the Savior's coming for the taking away of the sins of the world with the shedding of his blood on the Mount Calvary, and with the setting up of the heavenly sanctuary system by the new and living way." And I've already quoted Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. Here's a reference for that. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy a city for the finishing of the transgression and for the making of an end of all the sins of the old covenant world, starting with Adam up to the death of Yahshua. Okay. And then it will be renewed in the end time by the blood of Yahshua. Okay. "For the prophecies of these writings give the future coming of the Yahshua by the fulfilling of the things written of about the Yeshua and the law of the Moses, after the fall of the Adam and Eve, Yahweh required the offering of a lamb at the garden gate as a sacrificial offering for their sins, and pointed forward unto the coming of Yahshua to die for the sins of the many. That would be Hebrews 9:26, I believe. Both of the living and dead at the time of the crucifixion, for the coming of the Yahshua brought an end of the animal sacrifices with the assurance of the salvation through the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant by the people. For the prophecy of the coming of the Yahshua was in the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament time, and shedding light on the New Testament time by the signs for the announcement of the fulfillment of the event, the three wise men had the knowledge of the signs of the time for the Yahshua being born unto Mary and Joseph, fulfilling of the prophecy of the Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Wonderful. Okay. So let's really pay attention to this. I've never seen it in writing in the Bible yet, and anywhere else, where his name is ever called Wonderful. So I'm thinking that we should look at this in a new light. And his name shall be called Yahshua shall be called the Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh the Father. Also of the Everlasting Father as the Prince of Peace. Okay. Hebrews 10:9-10. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O Yahweh. He taketh away the first, the old covenant, that he may establish the second new covenant by that will that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of the Yahshua Messiah once for all. For the shed blood of the Yahshua on the Mount Calvary covered the sins of the people in the Old Testament time, and the blood system of the Old Covenant began at the east gate of the garden. Let's do that again. For the blood system of the Old Covenant began at the east gate of the Garden of the Eden, for the sacrificial system, which ended at the crucifixion of the Yahshua, hereby setting in the motion the new and living way, as a plan of the salvation, Hebrews 10:20, by the blood of Yahshua. And that would take us to Hebrews 12:18-24, explaining the sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua, okay, for the New Testament time, for the obedience unto the sanctuary system, with the blood of the animal being drained in a basin and taken into the holy place, for the sprinkling of the blood on the horns of the altar, was for the forgiveness and remission of sin, for the scriptures read, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar for the making of an atonement for your sin, or for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, for the Adventists that won't even look at the sanctuary system in the New and Living Way, they have no hope of having an atonement made for their soul if they can't accept this blood of Yahshua to the New and Living Way. That's the only way they can have salvation, is to see it and then accept it and move forward. On the Day of the Atonement, the sprinkling of the blood in the Most Holy on the mercy seat and in front of the Ark of the Covenant, then confessing the sins on the head of the scapegoat and leading the animal out into the wilderness for the permanent removal of the sins of the people was a sign of their sins being transferred onto the head of the Satan for the final destruction. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, let's do that again. And without the shedding of the blood of the animal in the Old Testament, there would be no remission of sins for the Old Testament people. And without the shedding of the blood of Yahshua in the New Testament, you won't have any remission of sins for anybody in the New Testament. If you don't have a daily shedding of blood, okay, for those that come confessing their sins on a daily basis, Yahshua being already dead, they pierced his side, thus draining his blood onto the ground, the blood sprinkling or spilling in order to close the earthly sanctuary system. So the Yahweh provided the crux and the rocks on the top of the Mount Calvary, and the crack and the stone lid covering of the mercy seat, the blood and water run down into the ground and onto the top of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant for the anointing of the Most Holy and bringing in the everlasting righteousness. Now you wonder what we're talking about here. There was a cave underneath that cross where Yahshua was hung, about 20 foot deep down into the earth. And there was Jeremiah had secreted the Ark of the Covenant in that cave centuries ahead of time. I say centuries ahead of time. And it was there in that cave underneath the cross. And there was a crack in the rock that Yahshua was crucified in. And that blood and water run down there, and on top of that mercy seat. Okay. They found evidence of that just here in this last century. Okay. So it says, and the blood and the water run down into the ground and onto the top of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant for the anointing of the Most Holy and bringing in everlasting righteousness for the Old Testament people that followed the sanctuary system of the blood offering of the animal. And this is a promise that Yahshua's blood will take its place until the end of time, bringing in everlasting righteousness. It's just His blood that brings in everlasting righteousness. Daniel 9:24-27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city for the finishing of the transgression, and for the making of an end of sins, and for the making reconciliation for the iniquity, and for the bringing in everlasting righteousness, and for the sealing up of the vision and prophecy, and for the anointing of the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment for the restoring and for the building up Jerusalem unto the Yeshua the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80, and 2 weeks the street shall be built again, and a wall even in troublous time. And this is the time it's talking about right we're in now. This last day is the time of trouble. This is what we're in the process of doing now. Okay. Even this is, and after 80 weeks shall the Yeshua be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in okay. And then in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way that he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh. Okay, for the resurrection of Yeshua set up the new and living way with his blood of the new covenant, for the bread of the New Testament is for the remission of the Yeshua, is for the remission of the Yeshua with the instituting of the new system and the heavenly sanctuary for the removal of the daily sin at the 8 to 9 a.m. and the 2 to 3 p.m. And a little booklet called The Judgment of the Living by John, a Hubert and Ralph, notes, waiting for the ark with will be too late. Okay. We're on Desire of Ages, page 652. This is chapter 72, Ellen G. White. It is for the Yeshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Yahshua's death till he come." And how often do you do it? By law, you do it once a year. And that's the only way you can do it. So that's the way it's been set, that's the way it was set up to be done on a yearly basis until Yeshua comes. Okay, it says, "For the Yeshua was standing at the point of the transition between the two economies, and there are two great festivals, he, as the spotless lamb of Yahweh, was about to present himself as a sin offering, and he would thus bring to an end the system of types and ceremonies that for 4,000 years had pointed unto his death. As he ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in his place the service that was and is to be the memorial of his great sacrifice. For the national festival of the Jews was to pass for away forever, for the service which the Yahshua established was to be observed by his followers in all lands and through all ages. For the Passover was ordained as a commemoration of the deliverance of the Israel from the Egyptian bondage. That's what we're separating tonight for. A deliverance from the Egyptian bondage of idolatry that has solely encircled the world and our nation. Abraham proved that in his day. He always says, because his righteousness, he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees of Babylon and said, get into the land, I'll show you. And so Abraham was the only one there that in Babylon that wasn't following idolatry. And so when he got into the land of Canaan, Yahweh says, you can't stay here either. You're going to have to go down into Egypt. And your seed is going to sojourn there 430 years. And then they'll be strong enough when they come out to possess the promised land of Canaan that you're in right now, that they'll be able to drive out the heathen enemies, the idolaters out of this land. They'll be strong enough by then. And so, whenever Israel finally possessed the land by Moses, Moses brought them out. Joshua took them in, and he sanctified a remnant of Israel, and Joshua took them in. Yahweh told Joshua, says, now you tell the 12 tribes to drive out all of the idolaters out of this land. If you don't, they'll take you back over again. Well, sure enough, the 12 tribes didn't drive them all out, and sure enough, the 12 tribes had to be dispersed out of their own land. They didn't believe Yahweh. But that's the same thing today. This whole nation of Texas, it's the land of Israel in the Western Hemisphere, just like the nation of Israel is in the Eastern Hemisphere. Israel and the old country. In the new country, Texas is the antithetical Israel. Land for it. And so one day we're going to have a holy Texas nation. There's not going to be one sinner in this land. Okay? It says, for the Passover was ordained as a commemoration of the deliverance from Israel from the Egyptian bondage. Yahweh had directed that year by year, as the children should ask the meaning of the ordinance, the history should be repeated. Thus, the wonderful deliverance was to be kept fresh on the minds of all. For the ordinance of the Yahshua Supper was given for the commemorating of the great deliverance wrought out as a result of the death of Yahshua, till he shall come the second time in the power and glory. This ordinance is to be celebrated. It is the means by which his great work for us is to be kept fresh in our minds. At the time of their deliverance from Egypt, the children of Israel ate the Passover supper standing, with their loins girded, and with their staves in their hands, ready for their journey. For the manner in which they celebrated this ordinance harmonize with their condition, for they were about to be thrust out of the land of Egypt and were about to begin in the painful and difficult journey through the wilderness. But in the Yahshua's time, the condition of the things had changed. They were not now about to be thrust out of a strange country, but were dwellers in their own land, in the harmony with the rest that had been given them. People then partake of the Passover supper in a reclining position. Couches were placed about the table, and the guests lay upon them, resting upon the left arm and having the right hand free for the use in the eating. In this position, a guest could lay his head upon the breast of the one who sat next above him, and the feet, being in the outer edge of the couch, could be washed by one passing around the outside of the circle. For Yahshua is still at the table on which the paschal supper has been spread. So we have a chair here, sitting here for Yahshua's presence with us here at our table. Nobody's sitting in it, but we invited his presence. For the unleavened cakes used at the Passover season are before him. The Passover wine, and touched by the fermentation, is on the table. These emblems Yahshua employs to represent his own unblemished sacrifice. Nothing corrupted by the fermentation, the symbol of sin and death, could represent the lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. And as they were eating, Yahshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it unto the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now in Matthew 26:26, it says, "And as they were eating, Yahshua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it unto the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And so they took and did eat." Okay, and Matthew 26:27, it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Drink ye all of it. Luke 22:1. "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh," that is called the Passover. "And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Okay. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in, where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furniture, make ready. Verse 13, Luke 22. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of the Yahweh. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of Yahweh shall come. Well, that kingdom, that's what we are sitting up right here now, is that kingdom that he's talking about. And we become sanctified and purified, no doubt. Yahshua will be with us. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And we've already done that. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, and Matthew says, which is shed for many. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Okay. And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you, as he that serveth. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Likewise today, those that continue on through the rod periods from 1930 clear on up to 2024, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. Did you know his kingdom that he appointed unto the disciples in the New Testament is the same kingdom that he has appointed unto us? He appointed the first stage of that kingdom, called the first brass mountain in Zechariah 6 prophecy. The second brass mountain is the end of this kingdom. That's in our day. And we are the one that is appointed unto us, the second brass mountain of Zechariah 6. Okay. That you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, not judging 144,000, but judging the brethren of the 144,000. And the Yeshua said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Yeshua, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lost you anything? And they said nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, that's Jesus' church, the betrayer, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Yeshua, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he was wont unto the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneel down and pray, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of the blood falling down onto the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew nearer unto Yeshua to kiss him. But Yeshua said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Yeshua, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Yeshua answered and said, Suffer ye the sword. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Yahshua said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, do ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Okay, let's continue on to read about the foot washing.
John 13:5.
Oh, now let's go to John 13:4. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he unto Peter, Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Yahshua, dost thou wash my feet? Yahshua answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, then thou shalt never wash my feet. Yahshua answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Master, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Yahshua saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. We're going to now break and have our foot washing. Okay, we're going to sing now, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. So and the Bible says they sang a song and went out after they had the orders of the Yahshua's Supper. And it says, Blessed be the tie that binds us in Christian law, the fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer. Our fears, our hopes, aims are one, our comforts and our care. We share our mutual woe, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flow a sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.